Welcome to this episode of Reddit Guy. The subreddit we will listen to today is called r/maliciouscompliance. Our first post of this episode comes from Quitthisht and it's titled Have to Stack Firewood Before I Can Go See My Friends. You got it. Dot. Many years ago when I was a teenager I made plans with my friends to go out for a night. We planned this several days in advance and I told my parents what we were going to do. However, the day of, my dad came home from work for lunch and dumped a trailer load of pre-cut firewood in the driveway and told me I needed to stack it all. I reminded him that I was getting picked up in a few hours and would be gone the rest of the day. Night, he told me, "You're not leaving until all that wood is stacked nicely and out of the driveway." Nicely and out of the driveway, eh? Okay. He left after that and I began my work. I grabbed the key for the front door to the house first and then started stacking the wood in front of the back door. Our front door isn't used very much to the point that my parents don't even have keys to it on their everyday keychain, so I was blocking the back door. I stacked it up to my chest and wide enough that it couldn't be squeezed past to get to the door. Then I went in through the front door, grabbed my stuff for me and my friends, waited for them and had a fun night. Came back the next morning to find half the wood pile restacked on the other side of the pile. I was fully expecting to get my ass chewed out, but when I got inside I saw my mum, who chuckled and recounted what happened. Basically, my mum and dad both got home at the same time and saw what I'd done. She was laughing, my dad was fuming, he told her what he'd told me to do and she ripped into him for dumping the wood on me a few hours before he knew I would be leaving with friends. She was also pissed because I'd done the right thing by her for telling them about what we were doing, where we were going, and him doing that to me might discourage me from telling them in future. He had to restack half the woodpile to get to the door and thankfully wasn't upset about it the next day. The next post from Tree Blinded Dragon is titled Don't Want Me to Wear the Company's Provided Vest. Okay, bet. I work in construction and the company provides us with all required PPE, including a high visibility vest, jacket. The company recently adopted two styles. One completely yellow and one is blue with yellow striping. I chose the latter. One day at work I get a call from my manager saying I can't be wearing the half blue half yellow jacket because it's not visible enough. I argued that it was a company provided, and if they didn't think it was visible enough, maybe they shouldn't have provided it in the first place. He said, IDC, just do it. I said, okay, it will have to wait till tomorrow because the older one is at home. Next day, I show up to work with yellow painted everything. Hard hat, safety shoes, tape measure, safety glasses, flashlight, and the blue jacket also painted yellow. I purchased a yellow high vest pants as well. I looked ridiculous, a ray of sunshine, more like a mini highlighter, 5'8 for reference. My manager's shocked and deer in the headlight face was priceless and worth every bit of it. Edit. I don't actually do physical labor, I'm an inspector, making sure things get installed as per code, contract specifications and shop drawings. The next post from WhoSC3W3DDAPOOCH is titled You Want Me to Stay in My Lane. Okay. Dot. I have both technical and sales experience, so will I answer questions in the sales support chat, Qs. That is, until the head of the sales support team emailed, CCing my boss, telling me to stay in your lane. I thought, you want me to stop helping your team? I'll stop helping your team. That month was the first month sales support missed the tickets resolved satisfactorily within time metric in 2 years. Their complaints were up 140% month over month too. Guess who emailed? Asking if I could chip in like I used to. Sorry, but I can no longer work on the support queue due to additional projects. ETA, thank you for the awards. The next post from Smok1 is titled Quit Overstepping. If you insist. Dot. I'm a sysadmin and, let me sound it out, INJR near, I think I got it, at the company I work for. We sell lots of stuff, but one of our new up and coming products are display walls and large format displays. A couple of weeks ago I was helping our new AV department get a showroom ready and spent 5 days working between 10 and 15 hours a day getting everything up, running, and programmed properly for a big show until our owners were putting on for some people. The AV techs were fine with me helping out and we got everything up and running and we all got lots of praise. The next week one of the displays was acting up and someone asked the AV department to look at it, as they are supposed to, and then they came over and asked me, since I'm local and the AV department isn't. I went down and fiddled with some knobs and pressed some buttons and got it back up and running. I documented the changes and sent it to the AV guys and thought everything was good. Narrator's note, everything was not good. AV department head got angry and sent me a strongly worded email, and copied mine and his boss's, that said due to the complexity of these displays, only authorized people are allowed to work on them. Please do not touch the controls until you are certified on how to use the equipment. Then in an email directly to me he said, you work in IT, quit overstepping into other departments. My reply, you got it. Fast forward to last Friday. Big sales presentation and one of the displays isn't working. I was called in because all the AV guys were out of town and couldn't get free to fix the issue. I had to tell them that I was no longer allowed to touch the equipment based on the email I got and printed out. AV head got put on blast by salesperson, to her boss, his boss and a bunch of other bosses, because they were showing off, trying to, equipment that wasn't working. Fast forward a couple of hours and I was called into a meeting. In the room was AV head, his boss, my boss and the big boss. Evidently, there was a slew of emails that went around that I wasn't privy to and AV head tried to throw me under the bus. He started off all the finger pointing and when he took a breath, I asked if I could use big boss's computer for a moment and print out some stuff for him. I printed out a couple of copies of the emails and handed them to everyone in the room, let them read for a few moments and said, any further questions, your honor? Big boss laughed and told me to GTFO, literally. I don't know what came of the meeting. It was late in the day and I went home, but I heard they were in the office for a while. The next post from Satanic Butt Mechanic is titled Dress Professionally. Okay, I will. The post about the safety vest reminded me of this one. Something like 20 years ago, I used to work at a call center, doing phone surveys. We were told we had to dress nice in case any clients came in to check the place out. For guys, it had to be a nice collared shirt, with slacks. Women could wear what they wanted, because all they had to say was, oh, I bought this as a complete outfit at Kmart, Kohl's, a yard sale. This is what management said, women would wear what they wanted without repercussions, as long as it wasn't holy. Also, men were not allowed to wear jewelry, while women were. Naturally, I had a problem with this. My argument is that we were on the phone. No one cares what we're wearing. But management would not budge. Malicious compliance, I wore a mismatched three-piece suit with a neon pink tie, pastel green button-up collared shirt with hooker hoop earrings. Management was not happy, and called me into the office with hour. I told him that I was wearing a complete suit that I bought as an outfit at the thrift store, so that complied with the dress code, and if a woman could wear jewelry, then I could as well, unless they wanted my lawyer's card for sexual discrimination. Management was not very happy, but since I complied with their rules, there was nothing they could say. I think tossing the word litigation with regards to the sexual discrimination the guys faced kind of freaked him out a little as well. They stopped bugging me. I put together a few more suits so I would not be wearing the same one every day. On a side note, they had given me an extra day off 1 week, and I needed the hours, so I switched with someone else. Turns out a client was indeed coming into the facility and management did not want me on site for that visit. I happened to come out of the bathroom right as the client was about to pass by with management. They stop and look at me. Management, shocked Pikachu face client, amused confusion, who are you? Me. I'm Satanic Butt Mechanic. Management finds their voice. Yes, he's great on the phones, and helps with morale with his outrageous take on fashion. Me, being young, and not caring about the job anymore. No, it's my protest of the dress code, which is sexist, and discrimination against guys. To shorten it up, client inquires, I explain, client tells management they don't care about how we're dressed as long as the numbers are where they want them to be, and I get fired the next week for insubordination. I'd like to say there was a mass exodus of people who supported me, but it's Ohio, it will state, and it's always been everyone for themselves. However, they did close down within the year, so it may or may not be related. Edit. Thank you for the awards. Who would have thought that me following the rules would have internet strangers give me a little icon online to boost my nearly non-existent sense of self-worth? The next post from Britannicus 1 is titled You Must Wear a Class 3 Vest with Sleeves. Understood. Just saw another post about safety vest color issues and it reminded me about a good compliance stunt I pulled. Also on mobile SO formatting, you know. I'm in the construction management and inspection industry and we traditionally work on state doc contracts, etc. A few years back someone got the great idea of requiring a Class 3 safety vest to be worn at all times. Class 3 vests have full length sleeves and if you've never worn one, they're uncomfortable, don't breathe worth a damn. Walking next to a paver is bad enough with a normal safety vest, but when you add sleeves, it's that much worse. So I got called out for wearing a Class 2 vest with leggings, which classifies my attire as Class 3, as not in compliance. I knew I was, but the new rules said the vest must have the sleeves. Fine. I thought for a little bit about it and found my small malicious compliance. Rules state you have to have a shirt with at least 3 inches sleeves while working on dot projects. No, wife beaters, or, excuse me, shirts. Class 3 vest has elbow length sleeves. Mr. Burns' maniacal laugh ensues. I began going to work without a shirt under my safety vest. Vest had 3 inches sleeves, met the requirement. It was not as comfortable as a t-shirt, but I was not going to be told I couldn't wear the vest without the shirt. Others on our inspection staff took notice and began doing the same thing. Didn't take long before we were questioned about what we were doing, and I explained my reasoning. I was the supervisor, so I stood up for my staff. Was told to wear a shirt. I showed him the requirement was bullshit. Big heads found out what was going on and actually looked into it. Realized I was right and pulled the Class 3 vest requirement. I promptly began wearing my shirt again. Edit. Small clarification for safety vest sleeve length. Full length for these is to the elbow. Changed it to elbow length. The next post from Hellcat47 is titled "You know how much work I have and don't think I need more manpower, we will do what I can." Dot. This is a story from my former employer, where I managed operations for clients at a third-party logistics company. Number of employees in my team was managed by my manager who worked off my input regarding pending work. During the month of June, my clients were in the middle of the summer rush to get new merchandise into our warehouse and then out to their clients. We received around 2,000 pieces of merchandise which had to be processed in. The client was shipping another 3,000 pieces next week. My regular team was 6 people and I was down to 4 because my manager needed manpower elsewhere. We were backed up on regular operations and couldn't spare anyone to do the 2,000 pieces. I let my manager know that I need the 2 people back he has taken away plus an additional person to make sure we hit the service level agreement. He gives me a stern reply stating that he knows exactly how much work I have and manage with the team you have. Within a day of this conversation, my team is down to 2 people, so no way we were going to finish the additional work queue malicious compliance. Given we had priorities set by the owner of the company, we didn't get to the 5,000 pieces in the next 2 weeks. Market value of these items is upwards of $500,000 and the customer wants them processed as soon as possible. The service level agreements were for 48 hours and we missed it by a week and a half. Our client chews out my company's owner who is pissed off at me. I narrate the story stating I cannot have a team of 2 people do the work of 7 to 8. I get the additional manpower needed the next day with an open line to the owner to sidestep my manager at will. TLDR, we get extra work over what my regular team of 6 can handle, my team is down to 4 and then to 2. Work gets delayed by 2 weeks, manager and company owner get chewed out. I get access to jump hierarchy at will if manager is unresponsive. The next post from DumpsterPhoenix93 is titled "Sure, I'll dress professionally." The other stories this morning reminded me of this gem from my past. I, 20SM, was working in a small office as a salesman. One of my co-workers is a real stickler for the rules despite having no power. One day he sent out a memo focused on professionalism in the workplace, and specifically called out employee attire. To be fair, I agreed wholeheartedly, the lack of respect for our company was at an all-time high, so the next day I woke up bright and early so I'd have plenty of prep time, and I walked in dressed to the nines in my finest tuxedo. Of course my co-worker was unamused, but to my further detriment my boss's supervisor was in that day and was unhappy with me. Fortunately he wasn't present in my branch long, but that's a story for another day. The next post from Wild Asked Guess is titled "A Friend Gave Me My Malicious Compliance." Years ago as a student I lived in a house share with a good friend, and we both had part-time jobs to make ends meet. Our protagonist is called Fred. He worked in the local multiplex cinema, the first of its kind in our part of the UK. One day, he comes home ranting about just how thick and unhelpful customers can be, and have to be prodded for every part of their order. "Fred, would you like anything else, sir?" Customer: "Yes, Fred, what would that be?" Customer: "A Coke, Fred. Diet of full sugar." Customer: "Diet, Fred, what size?" Customer: "Medium," and so on it would go, through nachos, popcorn, etc. I thoroughly listened and sympathized. So, next week my girlfriend and I go to watch a film, and it turns out Fred serves us. He looks at me for a second too long, and launches into the, "What would you like, sir?" questions, and I take him down the entire garden path having to be prodded for every answer. I'm not the malicious compliance, he is and he's the hero. We got to popcorn as the last item, and the very last question after I'd ordered one of virtually everything I could think of, and he'd maintained an utter deadpan expression throughout. "Sweet or salted?" "Salted. Would you like butter?" "Yes, please." And off he goes to the machine with the butter pump, and he goes mad, and pumps it like a bastard. There must have been about a pint of butter in my popcorn. He then thanked me and told me quite politely to enjoy my film. Which I did. When I left, I had a huge popcorn bucket-shaped ring of butter on my trousers where the bucket had leaked. It still makes me smile and we're still very good friends. The next post from Wolfbait is titled "Here are all your monthly status letters. TLDR at the end. A few years ago while working with a different company, we had many clients. Clients, of course, are the most important thing. The customer is always right. If a client wanted something, we would deliver. No complaints, no exceptions. I had over 100 files with one such client, we'll call it Bob. Many files were on hold and would remain inactive for over a year. Bob kept track of our performance in a report card system. My boss took that report card system very seriously. We had to get 100% each and every month, or it would be our asses. Our SOP was to send status letters on active files every 30 days. A status letter is a Word document, exported to .pdf and sent via email, one per file, to the client. This purpose was to make sure of two things: the client was kept informed, and nothing fell through the cracks on our end. Each status letter would take me between 5 to 30 minutes depending. I'd kick out about 5 or so each morning and spend the rest of the day to do other work for Bob and other clients. This process worked great for years, until Bob changed its requirements. Bob decided that the status letters would now be due between the 1st and 10th of each month. This included active and inactive files. We still had to provide a status update if something important happened, but this would not count as a status letter for report card purposes. The status letter remained due between the 1st and 10th. Anything received after the 10th did not count. If something big happened on the 11th, we would, of course, update Bob, but a status letter would still be due between the 1st and 10th. Update Bob regarding a big event that happened on the 20th. A status letter is due between the 1st and 10th. Send an update on a major file development on the 31st. Believe it or not, a status letter is due on the 1st and 10th. This did not seem reasonable. Sending out 100 plus status letters the first 10 days of the month was not sustainable. It monopolized our resources. I was tied up, administrative staff were tied up, status reports for other clients got kicked to later in the month, and other more important projects, including on Bob's files, either got delayed or were rushed. This was not fair to others in our company, our staff, and our other clients. So I got an idea. If something big developed late in the month, I would wait to include it in the monthly status report. This staved off some redundancies. It also gave me a much better idea. Even if nothing big happened, I would still draft a status letter in each case. I would draft a report around the end of the month. I did a few each day, but I did not send him then. Absolutely not. That was forbidden and would result in a ding on the report card, and we certainly cannot have that. Instead, I saved them up and had them sent to the client on the first of the month. All 100 plus of them. On that day, Bob received over 100 emails, a separate status letter for every file. Later that day, I got a call from my boss who told me he had just gotten off the phone with Bob. Bob was spammed with status letters, most of which indicated nothing had happened for months. Based on the obscene volume of status reports he received, Bob requested we now report every 60 days on active files, divided odd, even by file number. Better yet, we need not report on an active files. This was sustainable. TLDR client asked us to send monthly status reports in a small window of time in the beginning of the month, so I sent them all on the first day of the month. As a result, client changed to 60-day reporting on active files and we no longer had to report on an active files. Today's last post from Revised Gibbon is titled "Just Following Orders Petty Officer." For context, I'm in the Navy waiting to start a school, where I learn my job. People who are waiting to start classes on this base have to do a little bit of chores around the base to keep the base clean and so that we're not just sitting around doing nothing all day. We got put into groups for specific task. My group's task was taking out trash at the barrack building in laundry rooms, lounges, and bathrooms. This old man hate that was all we had to do, so he would make us do extra stuff like picking weeds, rearranging vacant rooms, and cleaning windows. We told him we weren't supposed to do this because that's the job of the contractors the government pays. He said he didn't care because we don't do shit anyway. It was true, but some of us used the time to get stuff settled at home since most us have just gotten out of boot camp. Well, we decided to just do the work, and when our higher up asked us what we did today, we told him how we what had to do. He said, "Why the fuck were you guys doing that? That's the civilians' jobs." My shipmate said, "Just following orders, petty officer." He said he'd take care of it. Next day, for the first time, I saw contractors picking weeds, cutting the grass, power washing windows, and other stuff too. While all we had to do was just clean up trash. TLDR, we were only supposed to clean up trash. Civilians tried to make us do their job. Got forced to do their job by my sick petty officer.